1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program, some more news has come out about Matt Nagy and Justin Fields. Yes, it gets worse. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Dave Wills, the radio voice of the Tampa Bay Rays. We talk with him extensively about the Rays season, White Sox, baseball, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. You can watch more of this show. Search up Sports Talk Chicago, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, sportstalkchicago.com. I want to start today with this. It's pretty apparent that Matt Nagy sabotaged Justin Fields. Might get old to be talking about this. I've seen people comment saying, John, enough already. Get over it. I'd love to. I'd love to sit here and look forward to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and this new Bears team. But sometimes you need to hold people accountable, too. Matt Nagy left here with very little fanfare. Nobody covered it too much. New reports came out after the fact, and nobody's asked him or talked to him about what happened here in Chicago once he got to Kansas City. Everybody's soured on the story. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to ask questions. And to me, it's a little bit annoying. Maybe I have a problem, but I like closure. I want to know what really happened here in Chicago. I want to know why he sabotaged two young quarterbacks' careers in Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. I want to know why after 2018 the Bears couldn't win. I want to know why and how things changed after 2018. What prompted the change in performance? What prompted him to lose his players? What prompted him to trash one quarterback and yet trash another that was drafted for him? How'd this all happen? If I could sit down with Matt Nagy for 5 minutes, I'd ask him all those questions and see if he answered any of them. I don't have that privilege. But we can decipher things based on new reporting that continues to come out. Report came out on Twitter that discussed Justin Fields and his play calling and how he did last year based on the plays that were called by Matt Nagy. You really want to listen to this. I'm going to read verbatim. Quote, last season, Fields completed 57 of 84 passes with play action for 509 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 102.2. Without play action, he completed 124 of 213 passes for 1,361 yards, 5 touchdowns, all 10 of his interceptions, and a passer rating of 65.5. Fields' yards per attempt shot up from 6.4 without play action to 8.9 with it. His completion rate went from 58.2 to 61.4, and his big-time throw rate went from 4.3% to 12.7%. Per Pro Football Focus, a big-time throw is, quote, a pass with excellent ball location and timing, generally thrown further down the field or into a tighter window. So here's the main point. With play action, Fields was more efficient, more explosive, and overall a much better quarterback, which is why Matt Nagy allowed him to use it on just 23.8% of his dropbacks, 26th in the league among quarterbacks who played at least 20% of their team's snaps. This is kind of a bombshell report that nobody's talking about, but this explains a lot about why Fields did not succeed last season. Look, plain and simple, what this says is, Justin Fields loves the play action, just like Mitch Trubisky did too. A lot of quarterbacks like it. There's no issue with it. If you have a good run game, it works. The Bears had a good run game. It worked for Justin Fields. Matt Nagy never called it. We're seeing proof right here. Now, the question is anybody going to hold him accountable? Of course not, because nobody cares. I do. See, when Matt Nagy goes to apply for new jobs in 4 or 5 years, tries to get a new head coaching job, I want people to remember this statistic. We're talking about a young, potentially elite quarterback who has the potential to get there, being hindered purposefully by his head coach. Justin Fields, on play action, had a 102.2 passer rating. Without it, it was 65.5, and yet Matt Nagy called just 24% of his plays play action. Does any of that make sense? This sounds like purposeful sabotage. How hard is it to just conform to your quarterback? How big of an ego must you have to not listen to what your players need, not what you want? It's pretty simple to me. Good bosses, good coaches, they work off their employees or their players. What works well for you? Let's do it. Good companies, successful companies in this world, in this country, they, for the most part today, conform to their employees. What works for you? What system can we implement? How can we make you succeed in this environment? I don't understand why you wouldn't want that to happen. But yet, for some reason, we see it here, that was the case with Matt Nagy. That's what happened with Matt Nagy and Justin Fields, and we have more proof now. More proof is coming out. The truth can never hide. Matt Nagy may have tried to run away to Kansas City to keep this under wraps, but eventually the numbers will come out. The truth will continue to come out. People will report on this and talk about it. I know I will. Even if it's unpopular, it needs to be said. Stuff like this needs to be said. This is a travesty to read these numbers. It's a travesty to read these numbers. He succeeded on the play action, 102.2 passer rating. All 10 of his interceptions came without play action. Now look, I get it. You can't be fully reliant on play action. You have to be a well-rounded quarterback. I fully understand that. But he's a rookie, had no offensive line, very little weapons. Trying to get acclimated to the NFL, why not throw your quarterback a bone? Come on. He runs. He's mobile in the pocket. I know you want him to be a pocket passer, but maybe that's not who he is, and that's okay. It works in the NFL. All 10 of his interceptions occurred on non-play action passes. That's a huge red flag. And the fact that more play actions were called and no changes were made, despite knowing those stats, is even worse. That's the scary part. That goes to show you, this was sabotage. In some capacity, you can't tell me otherwise. I'm sorry. Whether it was intentional or not, something happened there. The Bears are not stupid. Matt Nagy isn't stupid. They know these numbers exist. If you knew that your quarterback succeeded on play action and didn't when it wasn't called, why did you call it only 24% of the time, which was 26th most in the league? It'd be different if you had no run game. You got a run game. My goodness, Herbert, Montgomery, you had a run game. And you never called anything. It's just unacceptable. This treatment is unacceptable. So I'm happy Matt Nagy's gone, but these numbers need to be noted. And this report needs to be spoken about. I'm very disappointed. I know Justin Fields is tough. He'll get through it. Not like Josh Rosen or other quarterbacks who've been broken. I understand that. But the fact is, he could have been broken. He still could be broken because of Matt Nagy. That's the scary part here. That's what people don't really talk about as much. Everybody just assumes Justin Fields is going to be fine now with the new coach and with the new system. He could still have scarring from this system. I don't know what kind of system this even was. That's why I said from the very beginning, Matt Nagy shouldn't even be allowed to coach high schoolers anymore. If he can't set up his quarterback for success in the NFL, and in some cases, according to some reports, purposefully did it, according to The Athletic, about Mitch Trubisky, I don't trust him with any quarterback. I don't trust him near a football field. It may sound harsh, but it's the truth. Can't argue with it. We have numbers. We have irrefutable evidence to prove it. He should not be allowed near a football field again. And yet, he could be the heir apparent to Andy Reid, according to some reports, as well. I guess I weep for Patrick Mahomes and his future, because if Matt Nagy purposefully sabotaged two young quarterbacks who had potential, Justin Fields more potential than Mitch Trubisky, then we got a problem here. We have a serious issue. Then it goes back to who hired Matt Nagy and who thought he'd be a great coach, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips. Both of them. That makes it even scarier. I don't want to have to keep retreading the past. I know it's over. But really, when you think about what happened and how the Bears approached this entire situation from 2018 and hiring Matt Nagy, hiring Brian Pace, and making changes like this, we got a problem. This is not good. This is not right. This is not acceptable. Bears fans shouldn't accept it. The NFL shouldn't accept it. I don't think it's funny or it's a joke that Justin Fields was never catered to. It's not funny. It's stupid. Be better. Hire a better coach. Hire somebody who actually cares about development and cares about his players. I've said this a number of times on my program. For the most part, even in the NFL, your players are like your kids. I know you don't need to babysit them. They're grown men, but still, they're like your kids. Don't you want them to succeed? Don't you want to get the best that you can out of them? Matt Nagy didn't do that half the time. Sometimes he did. 2018, good example. But after that, it kind of got out of his hands. It snowballed in the wrong direction. I just feel for Justin Fields a lot now, especially. Now with these numbers coming out, especially. I understand being harsh on what he did. The fumbles, of course, were unacceptable. But he wasn't catered to at all. This was Mitch Trubisky 2.0. I want to see Fields play with a real coach, a real game plan, a game plan that's catered to him, a game plan that won't screw him or bite him in the butt every 5 minutes. A game plan that won't allow for 9 sacks in his debut. A game plan that will allow him to use play action more often because it helps and it works for him. That's what I want to see. Shame on the Bears, shame on Matt Nagy for not doing that for him from the jump. This is an investment. How many times do we have to say it here? This is an investment. Rookie quarterback, you need a quarterback to win in the NFL. You drafted him, 11th overall. Invest in him. Help him. It's not too difficult. Why do other teams do it so easily, but yet the Bears can't? They always get it wrong, whether it be coach, whether it be GM, whether it be personnel around him. They can never get the quarterback position right. And most of the times, it's through no fault of the quarterback himself, especially in the case with Justin Fields and his performance last year. That was not his fault. There were issues, for sure, especially with the fumbling, but the majority of his numbers that he put up were not his fault. Look, I just showed you. He succeeded on play action all the time. 102.2 passer rating. All of his interceptions came on non-play action plays, and they were called non-play action plays 75% of the time. So only 25% of the time did Justin Fields actually have a chance to do what he liked to do. Thank you, Matt Nagy. And this is why I say give it more time. I'm not going to say Justin Fields is a bust right away right now based on those numbers. Those numbers were bust worthy, but they weren't his fault. Let's see him with a real coach, with a real offense, with somebody who actually gives a damn about him. Matt Nagy did not give a damn about him. And we've seen it. There's proof at this point. We've seen it. Let's find somebody who actually cares about his development, about his well-being, about what he could be in the NFL, not just somebody who claims he's an offensive guru and then screw him and throw him away. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Dave Wills comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk. Talk Chicago. For John Zagluelan, we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the radio voice of the Tampa Bay Rays and a Chicagoland native. Please welcome Dave Wills to the program. Dave, it's great to have you on again. How are you?
Always good to be back and doing fairly well. It's been a tough little go here for the Rays. We've had a couple of our better players go down with injuries, but this team has been resilient for the last several years, and we're still plugging away. We found a way to win last night. Took a little while longer than we had anticipated, but as my mom always used to say, good things come to those who wait.
What do you make of the Rays season?
You know what? We have not found our stride yet, to be quite honest with you. I know there's a lot of teams saying, oh, yeah, okay, I feel bad for you. You're 8 games over 500. You're still in a playoff spot if the playoffs were to start today. But, you know, I think the only thing you could say right now that we've done anywhere near Rays-like baseball would probably be our pitching. I mean, again, Shane McClanahan has been Cy Young material. He has been absolutely outstanding. We've gotten better than what we expected, maybe starts from guys like Drew Rasmussen. Corey Kluber has stayed healthy to this point. He's been, good mostly, but then has had a couple of tough spots here and there. And then Ryan Yarbrough has been a nice addition to the rotation here for the last few weeks. And then we're hoping to get Shane Baz and Luis Patino back here in the next few days and go from there. But, every other aspect of the game right now, though, is still not where we usually see Rays baseball. I mean, we're not really known as an offensive team, but right now we have underperformed. Even our hitting coach, Chad Mottola, stated that last night, that we need guys to be better. I know we're missing Brandon Lau, who's a 39-homer, 99 RBI guy. Wander Franco has had some leg issues for the last month, and I think that's affected him at home plate more than he has let everybody know. And then our young guys that have been given an opportunity, like Taylor Walls and Vidal Brujan, just have not really grasped onto that opportunity and run with it. They both really, really struggled. So our offense, unfortunately, has been more missed than hit. And then one of the Rays' ways since 2008 has been our defense. We have been, if not a very good defensive team, an elite defensive team. And right now we're maybe a little below average, which is really kind of shocking.
Why do you think that is for the defensive part?
I think it's part of it is it's twofold. I think one, I think our first basemen have not been as good at picking plays over there at first base to assist guys on the left side of the infield. We got a clinic this past weekend when the Yankees were in town about how a good first baseman can save the infield when Anthony Rizzo was in there picking balls left and right, making plays over there to secure outs. And, G-Man Choi is known more for his bat than his glove. Yandy Diaz has kind of bounced around a little bit, played some third base, but we've expected him maybe to be a little bit better with the glove over there at first base. And then when Harold Ramirez has had to play there, here's a guy that we picked up for his bat, and I'm not even sure we expected him to bring a glove along with him, but because of necessity, we've had to have him play some first base and even some outfield. So he's done the best he could. But, we've had Taylor Walls bouncing around between three different positions. He is an elite defender, but I think as a young player, this game doesn't need speeding up. For some fans, they might think that when they're sitting in the seats and they're watching the game on TV, that it's a slow, methodical kind of game. The closer you get to the dirt, the faster this game becomes. And when you are on dirt, it's a really fast game. And I think Taylor Walls has a tendency to speed the game up. He just needs to kind of calm down and let the game come to him. He's an elite defender. And I think now that he's getting a chance to play shortstop every night with Wander out, we're going to see that on display. But things can definitely be cleaned up defensively for the Rays, especially on the infield. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case here over the next few months.
What's going to be their key to recovering and becoming a potential division leader or World Series contender?
Like everybody else, health. I mean, I think we're a little more fragile because of our payroll situation, unlike other teams within our division. A guy goes down, they can go out and reach into the front pocket and go out and get a replacement from any one of the other 29 teams. We have to deal with that with the Yankees, with the Red Sox. I think even the Blue Jays, to own an entire country, are able to do that as well. But, health is going to be a key for us. We're on the verge of hopefully getting Shane Baz back, who can be a great addition to our rotation. And then that might move a guy like Jeffrey Springs, who I didn't mention, but moved into our rotation a few weeks ago and has been absolutely tremendous. But now we can watch his innings a little more and maybe piggyback him and Ryan Yarbrough, maybe him and Drew Rasmussen to kind of make sure we tap down on their innings accumulation. Luis Patino is another guy that's got elite stuff that if you can put it all together can be a middle to top of the rotation type pitcher. We get those guys back. We got a couple of guys in the bullpen. We're waiting to get back. Big parts. You know, you might have remembered Kevin Cash a couple of years ago said he's got a stable full of guys who throw 98. We don't have a stable of 98 anymore. I think our guy who throws the hardest down that bullpen might be Jason Adam, who throws about 95, 96. We've got guys who come at you in different ways and get the job done, but we don't have the 98, 99 guy, but we're kind of waiting on him. That's Pete Fairbanks. I hope to get him back sometime in the next maybe couple of months. Nick Anderson was an elite reliever for us during the 2020 World Series run. We made it to the World Series here in Arlington, and he really hasn't been the same since then. So we're seeing if he's going to come back sometime in July or August. So health is a big key for the Rays to get some of these guys back. I think a wild card in this, and I'm probably speaking out of turn, could also be Tyler Glasnow. I know how the Rays operate. I know we are very, very conservative with high-end guys when it comes to them coming off the IL. And I don't think there's anybody in the Rays organization that'll back me up on this, that'll say that if it all goes well, that we might see him throw a couple innings here and there in September and into the postseason. But, hey, I say never. And if Tyler Glasnow is a guy that can't come in here and help us out by throwing a couple innings here and there in September and October, I say why not?
Do you appreciate the Rays' way, knowing that you don't have a big enough payroll, but you're finding ways to win baseball games?
You have to be that way. I mean, you know, and you've learned that since 2008. And I think it's funny that when we try to be like the Yankees and go out and make a big trade like we did last year with Nelson Cruz, I think it was the right move. I really do. And I think ultimately it did help us out, even though Nelson's numbers himself weren't as large as I'm sure he would have liked and some of the fans would have liked. But I think what it did was it allowed some of the other guys like a Rosarena to take a little pressure off him. And instead of thinking he's got to be the guy, now he can just kind of sit back and be the Robin to Nelson Cruz's Batman. Same thing with Wander Franco. I think it allowed Brandon Lau to look and see better pitches. But, you know, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, we are a team that has to find the Harold Ramirez as opposed to the Nelson Cruz. And Harold's been a great pickup for us so far. But, you know, that when we try to be the Yankees, it doesn't work. And when the Yankees try to be the Rays, it doesn't work for them either. So, you know, it's the Rays way. It's about run prevention first and foremost, usually. And hopefully that will be the case here in the, as we, you know, we're at the third pole right now. And I think as a lot of old time baseball people will say that you are who you are by this time. I'm not sure we have our identity just yet because of the injuries, but you know, again, for everything that's gone on, I think if you asked Kevin Cash, are you pleased with the fact that you're 8 games over .500 at this point of the season? I think he would say yes.
How far do you think they go if they're fully healthy?
I think we're one of the top 4 or 5 teams in baseball. I really do. I think that, you know, the thing that makes me a little nervous is the fact that we don't have the guy right now at the back of our bullpen. We have the guys. We have a few guys that they feel confident giving the ball to right now, like a Jason Adam, like a J.P. Fireisen. Colin Pochet did some nice things here at the late stages of games lately. We've seen you know, Jalen Beeks do some nice things, but I've always been a big fan of having a guy back there in the big moments, crucial moments of a game. And then that would kind of bump JP up a little bit, Jason Adam up a little bit to help get out to the sixth and the seventh, so on and so forth. So that's the only thing that makes me a little bit nervous is that I'd love to have, like we did in 2020, Nick Anderson was the guy until I think we ran him a little bit into the ground. But other than that, I think we've got a decent enough pitching staff, especially if Shane McClanahan can stay healthy. I mean, as I look at what his body of work so far in about 35 starts and try to compare him to some of the young lefties we've had in the past, a Scott Kazmir, a David Price, a Blake Snell, who won a Cy Young, Shane McClanahan is as good, if not better, than all of them. I really think he's got a chance to be something special. A 99-mile-an-hour fastball can reach 100. He's got a really good slider-curveball combination. And then he's been pitching with a changeup this year that's been a difference maker for him. That's just absolutely outstanding. So, and it's not one of those guys, too, that says, oh, I've got 4 pitches. I've got to figure out, hey, I haven't used this one in a while. Let me go use this one. He's got a purpose with every pitch, and he pitches every pitch with conviction, and I think that's why he has been so good.
Hey, Will's here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dan, let's talk White Sox now. What do you think about their season so far?
You know, from afar, you know, it's a little mind-boggling and a little head-scratching, but, you know, again, injuries have been a big thing. I think I can't remember if you and I talked much during the spring, but I do remember being in Fort Myers and talking to some of the Twins people. And that particular time, they said, yes, if you were to count the 26 players that are going to be on their opening day roster, if they're healthy, They've got the best team in the division and probably by a decent margin. But they said at the beginning of the year that if anything happens to any of their key guys, they're going to be in trouble because their minor league system and their depth is really a big time question mark. And I think that has been exposed. I really do. I think it's been exposed so far here in 2022. I think that, I think Tony La Russa is still trying to find the right combination. I know that they're trying to figure out things offensively, trying to get Vaughn maybe in the lineup a little bit more and trying to figure out what's going on with a few guys in their bullpen. But, overall, I'm a little surprised that they're sitting around a couple of games under 500 because of the talent that is on that team. But at this particular time, though, too, I mean, Lance Lynn hasn't thrown a pitch. You've got a couple of other guys who have been banged up. And I look at their division, and, I think, Cleveland, Detroit, yuck. Kansas City, yuck. Minnesota's a good team. But I think at the end of the day, the White Sox are going to be able to beat up on some of those bottom feeders if they can get healthy again. And I think at the end of the day, they're probably still the best team in that American League Central.
Is this a La Russa problem or an injury problem?
I lean more toward the injury. I mean, again, the manager, I think, gets a little bit too much credit and a little too much, angst when things aren't going well. I think, obviously, Tony's a guy that I know a little bit. I don't know him that well. But at the end of the day, if their guys are going well and their guys are healthy, they're going to be fine. But again, it's a situation. What you find out is that this isn't just about the 26 guys or the 28 guys that they had for a little bit during the month of April. This is about a 40, 50, man roster that's going to play throughout a year. And like I said last year, when you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, we used almost 60 players and almost 40, and I think we used 40 pitchers. Now, I was told there'd be no math, but 60 and 40 do equal 100, which is the amount of wins we had. But when you use 60 players and 40 pitchers, you're not supposed to get 100 wins. And somehow the Rays did. And, it's the Rays figuring things out like that. White Sox, I don't think, are built that way. I really don't. So they need their core guys to get on the field and stay on the field. Tim Anderson not on the field now. That hurts them an awful lot. I think he's the straw, for lack of a better term, that stirs their drink. I think he's a guy that creates the energy on that team, that can get things going in the right direction. And you hate to see anybody get hurt, especially a guy, that's as good as Tim Anderson. But I thought that was going to be a break for the Rays. And then lo and behold, our shortstop goes down with an injury and he's not going to be there. So that's a disservice to the fans. Two of the best players in the game, Wander Franco and Tim Anderson, aren't going to be at the drop this weekend.
Who's the better team when fully healthy, White Sox or Rays?
I would, it's a great question. I mean, I think that you're looking at two teams that could really battle it out. And I think if I were to have to give an advantage to a team, it might have to be leaning a little bit toward the White Sox simply because of the back end of their bullpen. Like I said, I like having a guy. I know that Liam can have his moments, but, I think I'd take my chances with Liam Hendricks on the mound with the game on the line. But, like I've also said, though, too, don't underestimate the Rays. We've played that game for the last 5 years, 6 years now, where you sit there and go, our left fielder against your left fielder, our center fielder against your center fielder. And a lot of managers are saying, if you play that game, you'll figure out at the end of the day who's going to win. There aren't too many days where we can sit there and go, yeah, our guy's better, our guy's better, our guy's better. But ultimately, we still win, and we find a way to win. And, I don't know what that – I always mess up the saying, not as smart as you University of Chicago guys. I was only on the campus for a little while. But what is it, the sum of the parts? And, the whole here is greater for sure than the sum of all of our parts. And whatever it is, it just seems to get the job done.
We're to come with Dave Wells in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Dave Wells still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, your son's 5K at the Boston Harbor. What's going on with that?
I'm just glad I'm not swimming it. I've looked at the Boston Harbor. He's a firefighter, paramedic in Hazel Crest, and he's also involved in what they call the CPAT. I'm not sure exactly, but I think what that helps out is with young firefighters who have to train for firefighter, paramedic, physical tests. And so he helps run that as well. So he's been working out really, really hard for the last several years and has put himself in great shape. And this Boston Frogman thing that they're raising money for, some of the Nails Navy SEAL Foundation, he's going to swim a 5K inside Boston Harbor. He came out to Florida a couple of weeks ago to get some open water training, because, you know, again, it's one thing to swim in a pool with no current. It's another thing to swim in a place that has some current and maybe some things flopping around in the water while you're doing it. And he got a couple miles in while he was in Florida, was able to get some great workouts in. And he said during one time, he saw a fish literally go right in front of his face. And he freaked out a little bit. He thought maybe there'd be another big fish chasing after him. But I'm proud of Alex. He's been raising a lot of money. I'm thankful for the people who have also donated and done their due diligence. But it's quite the event. My wife, Liz, is going to go check it out. I wish the Rays were in town. It would be kind of neat to see you know, all this going on here in Boston. But, yeah, thankfully he's going to be in a wetsuit. Hopefully I told him to keep his mouth shut the entire time he's swimming in that water.
And, Dave, before we finish up today, last question. The number five chain didn't fit you on the broadcast. What's the story behind that?
Boy, that's the Wander Franco chain they gave away on Friday. And obviously, as everybody can see, I've got a pretty big dome. It's 7 3/4. It's smaller. It's smaller than Bruce Bochy's and smaller than a few other guys. But, yeah, I didn't know it had a clasp on it. I didn't look at it real quick. It was during the game. But I would imagine that even if I would have been able to unclasp it and then redo it, it'd probably be more of a choker chain than what some of these guys are wearing where it comes down to their chest. But it was a cool giveaway. It really was. I mean, it was heavy. It was it looked authentic. I'm sure the entire – we gave away maybe 10 or 12,000 of them. I don't think the total that we paid for those probably equaled the one that Wander actually wears. But that's some pretty impressive bling. And it was a really cool giveaway. A lot of people really, really enjoyed it. But, yeah, it's it was a little tight around the head. It looked more like a tiara, I guess, than it did a necklace, that's for sure.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining me. Best wishes, of course, with the Rays. I'm looking forward to the next time we chat for sure.
John, continued success to you too. Proud of you, man. And anytime, looking forward to chatting with you down the road. Maybe a little playoff preview. We'll see how it all goes. We can keep our fingers crossed for that. Thanks for having me.
Great talk there with Dave Wills, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Dave Wills himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbot, Tomorrow of Entertainment, for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluel. You can watch more of this show, search up Sports Talk Chicago, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com.
No! No! Never the turn off!